Hi everyone, and welcome to the Product Marketing Insider podcast. My name is Lawrence Chapman, and I'm a copywriter here at PMA. This episode is brought to you by behavior analytics tool, Hotjar. Hotjar lets you see how people truly experience your site or product and gives your users a voice. Let real users show and tell you the changes your team should make to improve your users' experience and eliminate the guesswork. Use Hotjar to understand how users experience and interact with your product so you can make the changes that matter most. Try Hotjar for free today at www.hotjar.com/alliance. I'm continuing my mission to speak to 50 plus PMMs to learn more about their roles, how their teams are structured, and a whole lot more. And today, I'm thrilled to be joined by Priyanka Srinivasan, Director of Marketing at Qualia. A highly skilled practitioner, Priyanka was named among the top 50 product marketing mentors in 2021, and has earned her stripes at the likes of Twitter and Gainsight. Thanks so much for joining me, Priyanka.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no, it's our pleasure. So first and foremost, can you just give us a quick insight into your current role as the Director of Marketing at Qualia?
Yeah, so I actually just joined Qualia about a little over 2 months ago, and I lead our entire product marketing team today, which, you know, is a kind of a traditional go-to-market team. We work closely with product, with sales, with the rest of marketing to bring products to life, basically to launch them here at Qualia. And, you know, we're quite a prolific organization in terms of the amount of product that we're releasing today. So we have our work cut out for us here.
Okay, awesome. And what was it that made you want to be a product marketer in the first place?
For me, actually, I'm a bit of an accidental product marketer in the sense that I didn't start my career in product marketing. I actually started my career in management consulting years and years ago. So I was a management consulting at a firm called Bain, and I did that for a few years. I went to business school, and then coming out of business school, I actually joined Twitter, doing kind of go-to-market work there, which I know we'll talk about a little bit more in a bit. And essentially, you know, I joined a company called Gainsight almost 4 years ago, and I was I joined their business operations team. So I was really there to kind of do more strategic projects. But really quickly, I ended up doing a lot of positioning and messaging. I mean, that was really strategic at the time for what we were doing. And so that's kind of how I ended up in the world of product marketing. It was not, you know, I always tell people I didn't grow up in marketing. I actually grew up in management consulting, and it's a skill that I think has been really helpful for me as I think about not only product marketing, but sort of marketing more broadly at SaaS companies.
So, there's so many people who are making that transition, just to kind of touch on what you were saying, making transitions from other areas into product marketing. What would be almost like your tip for anyone who is making that transition to make a successful transition into product marketing from a different area?
Yeah, you know, I think it's probably the same advice that I'd give to anyone trying to make a transition from any one function into another one, which is that it's hard to do it if you're switching a job, right? Because it's hard to find someone that's willing to kind of take a chance on you if you've never done that thing before. You know, just as a hiring manager, it's you have to kind of take a leap of faith. But I do think that if you're in a current company where, you know, they're flexible, and many companies are, right? They're flexible for you to kind of grow and learn and try something new. And you see an opportunity, you should push for that, right? And I've seen a lot of folks do that at various companies that I've been at, from any function to any function. And certainly I've seen a lot of folks do it into product marketing from other aspects of marketing, or even like sales engineering. I have a person on my team today who actually came in from the sales engineering side, and he was doing a great job at that. He's really technical in that way, really involved with the product, and wanted to kind of get into product marketing. And so he's been very successful in that transition.
Okay, brilliant. And as you've already kind of alluded to already, one company that immediately stands out on your CV is Twitter. Did you find that the execution of the go-to-market process differed there, almost like when you've been working in other roles, given the size of that company?
Yeah, you know, I think in a lot of ways, what you'll find at companies is no matter what their size, you'll see kind of the same sorts of principles around the teams. You know, you have a sales team, you have a sales ops team, You're going to have product marketing, you're going to have demand gen, right? Like you're going to have sales enablement, right? Like all of these things you're going to have at sort of most companies, particularly, you know, especially in the SaaS world, right? Because, you know, things are very, feel very playbooky in SaaS. I do think that, it, you know, with respect to my role at Twitter versus today, it is very different, obviously, being at a massive, massive company like that, like a Twitter or a Facebook or a Google versus being at a smaller company. Because at a smaller company, you know, I see everything end to end. And I get to own a lot of things end to end. Whereas when you're at a bigger company, you're really just, you're in one slice of it, whether that's just working on one product only, or, you know, even just like one specific project in, you know, with respect to one product. And so, you know, from that perspective, you don't really get to see the sort of full end to end thing. I actually think when I moved over to Gainsight, it was sort of the first time that I really saw how everything fit together. In sort of like a systems thinking kind of way. And that was really helpful for me. I mean, I think you get different things from different companies. I think it's good to have an experience at a larger company so you just know what that feels like. But for me personally, I like to kind of see the entire system and I like to have a hand in it. And so I think being at companies the size of Gainsight or Qualia where I'm at today is kind of my sweet spot.
Okay. And obviously, you know, go to market, it forms a, you know, huge part of, you know, your role that you're fulfilling at the moment. So what do you think product marketers almost need to devote the most time and effort to like really nail their go to market strategy?
Yeah, you know, this is probably hearkening a little bit back to my consulting days, which, you know, in a lot of ways when you're consulting is basically like really good research, right? Strategic consulting, you're talking to industry experts, you're doing a lot of kind of secondary research, you might do primary research in the form of surveys, right? You're collecting a lot of information to form a perspective on, you know, a market and how fast it's growing and what are the dynamics and where there's opportunity and things like that. And then you advise your client. And I think it's actually really similar. Honestly, it's almost the same thing really when it comes to go-to-market strategy, certainly within Qualia and I think broadly at any company I've been at where, you know, to be really good at go-to-market strategy and positioning and messaging, you have to know the space really well. So I encourage everyone on my team, you know, the first thing, the things that you should be doing, right, is sort of understanding the market that you're in, how fast it's growing, who the customers are, how you segment them. Are there any nuances about these different kind of segments of customers that, you know, we should be aware of? Which are the ones that we think we're sort of best positioned to go after based on where we are today and based on kind of where there's opportunity, who's, you know, who are the other competitors in the market, right? Like all of these things are really important to really understand, you know, where should we go in terms of kind of the product and the company and how should we message, right? What's actually going to resonate based on what we know. And then, you know, obviously talking to customers is a really important piece of that, talking to customers and prospects and testing messaging. So I think, you know, a lot of times organizations can look at product marketing and it can just be this kind of receiving line from product where you just get a product and then you slap some positioning and messaging on it and then you bring it to market and it's like very playbooky, right? That's just what you do. And I don't think that is what we do at Qualia. And I think that is one of the things that really sets us apart. And I think would set apart any sort of go-to-market organization where we really push ourselves to understand our customers and prospects really well in the market really well and what other folks are doing that are already in the market. And that has really, I think, helped us a lot.
Okay. And in terms of looking at what other people are doing in the market, you know, how could, I mean, I'm very much approaching this from a non product marketer's perspective. I'm a copywriter. So what would be your preferred form of competitor intel? To almost like differentiate what you're doing from your competitors and almost like identify what your competitors are doing in that regard?
Yeah, I think there's really various different ways that you can dig into that. So I think obviously, like from a very surface level, you can look at, you know, you can just do Google searches and understand kind of what your competitors' positioning is, what the products they're releasing are, right? Like obviously folks have that on their website, you know, we do as well, right? So you can kind of get a sense for that. And I know it seems really simple, but just getting a lay of the land for who's out there and what they're doing and putting some kind of logic and thinking around how you segment your different competitors, I think is really helpful just to see it kind of visually. Another thing to do is to talk to customers that you have that might have used that particular vendor or competitor in the past, or if it's a space that you're going into that might use them today, and understand kind of like what they like about that product, what they don't, you know, the pricing, all that kind of stuff. So just trying to gather that kind of intelligence on it. Certainly, you know, you're coming at it from a copywriting content marketing perspective. And I think from a content marketing perspective, one of the things that you can do, and there's various tools to do this today, is really understanding, you know, what other folks are writing about, right, when it comes to content marketing. And there's tools, you know, like BuzzSumo and things like that that are out there that you can just, you can easily see, you know, what is resonating in the market today amongst our audience and who's writing that content, right? And so that's another kind of helpful angle. So there's different, you know, there's different things that you can do, not only on the product marketing side, but certainly on the content side and other aspects of marketing as well, to better understand competition.
Okay. And then just kind of rewinding into your previous role at Gainsight, where you led messaging. So just wondered from your perspective, what you think good messaging looks like, and almost like what would be your piece of advice for anyone new to that particular product marketing function? You know, what you would say is like the quintessential ingredient for good messaging?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, at the end of the day, we're here to sell software, right? And we're here to, you know, grow revenue. And I think we're partners in that way to sales and demand gen in order to generate pipeline and to close deals. And so when I think about what good messaging is, right, it's messaging that obviously is going to resonate across that funnel of marketing and then down into the sort of sales funnel as well, right? So that we're generating new leads, more awareness, right? We're moving them through the marketing funnel, and then we're you know, getting them to be qualified opportunities, and we're moving them down, we're winning against competition, right? So that is fundamentally how you would determine whether your messaging is kind of effective. Is it improving metrics across all of those different areas? But in terms of kind of the way to know, I mean, or what really makes for good messaging, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's a process that you have to iterate on constantly, right? So you come up, you know, you do the research that you do, right, on a market and on a segment, and then you come up with what you think is the best positioning and messaging. And then you test it. You know, we talk to customers a lot. You know, we have a friendly customer advisory board, and we'll put messaging in front of those customers to see how they respond to it. You know, we'll have the sales team kind of test it out in the market as well. And then, you know, we iterate, right? So, you know, we get feedback on it and we are responsive to that feedback. We iterate. And I think, you know, the thing about messaging is it's a constantly moving target and constantly moving thing that you're doing. You know, even when I was at Gainsight launching products, I was launching kind of new categories and new things that honestly, like, we didn't really know how it would land, and there weren't really other competitors in the market. And, you know, if I look at my early messaging docs or my early kind of materials from that versus where it sort of landed by the time I left, they're completely different because we just learned so much along the way.
Yeah, sure. It's almost like just going with it and rolling, right? And just
you have to start somewhere, right? And so yeah, you start somewhere and then you iterate.
Yeah. Okay. And I always ask this question and I get very mixed responses, if I'm going to ask you anyway. So if there is such a thing, what does a standard day in your role as a marketer/product marketer look like?
Yeah, this is great. For me, I'm probably going to go, you know, one of the polar opposites that you see. There is no standard day in my role. And I think part of that is, you know, being a people manager and right now, and I think part of it, so it's part of it is being a people manager. Part of it is also kind of the phase where we're at right now. We're hiring really aggressively. And so, you know, I'm spending a lot of my time, you know, looking at candidates, talking to folks, you know, talking to them about quality and the opportunities, right? But when that's, you know, once we've kind of got our team a little bit more filled out, I think there's other things that I'll be spending my time doing. And so, you know, the way that we're sort of structured today, we have different folks that are focused on different products or different strategic partnerships that we're launching. And so I spend my time, you know, working with each one of those. And honestly, it's a lot of context switching because they're very different things. And then I spend a lot of my time also working cross-functionally with other leaders, right? And setting up structure around how we do launches and how we work together and collaborate. And that's really, really important stuff. And there's definitely no one standard day for that because different things will come up or different things we'll think about where we really need to add structure around it. And we have to really solution around that. So I think probably it's, you know, it's a lot of that. And I think also just the stage of the company that I'm at, you know, I'm not at a Twitter anymore and I'm not at a massive company. So, yeah. So I think every day is a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah. And to be honest, that your answer doesn't surprise me in the slightest. I've spoken to so many people in product marketing and they'd just be like, yeah, there's no standard day at all. Yeah. but at the same time, that's a good thing, right? Because, you know, you don't want to be going into work knowing exactly what's around the corner. That is why product marketing is so exciting and why so many people want to go into product marketing. So I'd imagine that's a good thing.
Yeah, I would say that it's the same thing for my team as well. You know, it's, you know, I mentioned being a people manager, but I would imagine that they would answer very similarly for themselves. So there's no standard day.
Yeah. So in terms of your team or your direct teams, can you tell us a little about them in terms of the numbers or how many people are within the team and, you know, the roles of those within it?
Yeah. So we have 4 people today. We're growing really rapidly. We're going to double that. And, you know, essentially today we have folks that, you know, I've structured the team to kind of map it to product. So we have different product areas at Qualia today. So I know I didn't talk a lot about Qualia. Qualia, we build products for the real estate industry, and particularly for title and escrow companies and lenders and real estate professionals. And so we're really there just trying to make the real estate transaction a lot smoother today, which is something I think a lot of Americans can relate with. And as a result of that, we have a number of different products that we're selling into the market with different audiences. And so I've structured the team really around that. So, you know, each person is kind of focused on a different product and an audience. So we might have someone that's focused on our lender audience and our lender product, someone that's focused on our core title and escrow product that we sell to title companies. But we also have things that are not product related. So we are also launching a massive partner marketing effort. So that's not linked to a specific product, but we are hiring out aggressively for that role today, which is someone to basically build that entire partner marketing, you know, machine from scratch. And then we launched a number of other strategic partnerships as well. And, you know, we're looking for someone actively right now to own those. And that's not linked to a product, but it's obviously a massive launch effort for us. And so, yeah, that's all to say it's a little bit of a mix of product and kind of marketing function. Which, you know, I've seen it at Gainsight and other places, we're not mapped to sales. Okay. So we don't have like, you know, we have various sales teams that focus on different segments, and there's a world in which you could map product marketing to like enterprise sales or to SMB or whatever. And we have not done that for various reasons. And so, yeah, we're very mapped to product today.
Okay. So in terms of the top 3 skills that you've gained throughout your career to get you to where you are now, what would you say, basically what we say those are, like your top 3 characteristics that have helped catapult you to the role in which you occupy today?
Yeah, you know, I think I'll start with saying, I think being able to, especially as like a leader at a company, being able to work cross-functionally with other leaders, I think at the end of the day, like you can, I think getting to the product marketing skill set, you can do that over time. And that's important to kind of learn all that stuff. I think getting to a leadership level becomes a lot more about how do you work with other cross-functional leaders? Do they respect you? Can you build structure? Can you work together with them? Because at the end of the day, like when you take products to market, like at a really small startup, it's very, you know, it's very tactical and you're just building the messaging and the docs, things like that. I think as you scale, you have to put in a lot more structure so that you can scale the business without just throwing people at it. And so, you know, being able to work cross-functionally well and solution collaboratively with other leaders is really important. So I'd say that's number one. I think the second thing, which is sort of related to that, is being able to make decisions quickly. And, you know, I think a lot of people like agonize over decisions. There's so many different ways something can go and, you know, there's pros and cons. I think it's really important, especially at an earlier stage company to just, to make a decision and just move with it. And actually Qualia is not like super early stage. We're sort of more mid-sized at this point. And, but still, you know, we are moving really, really fast. And I make tons of decisions every day that could go in multiple different directions. But I think it's just really important to like decide on something and then put your stake in the ground and move forward with it, because we just have to move. And then I think the third thing interrelated to probably both of these is speed. So I think that this has come through both, you know, speed of doing the product marketing work. And I think I learned that really early on in my career at Bain, because actually my first manager, one of the things he told me is like, you just have to be really fast at this job and not not at the expense of like quality. So it has to be like really good work, but it also has to be fast. So it's like, has to be everything, which, you know, but I think that's really important as well. And so I think if you can do the job well and you can do it really, really fast, and then you can work cross-functionally well with leadership and you can make decisions quickly, like that is all incredibly valuable, I think, to an organization.
Okay. And kind of just going back to what you were saying earlier as well, just about, your team at the minute, it's growing, the company's growing. To anybody who might be listening, who, wants to scale and get bigger and progress and improve their team, what would you say, or what would your advice to them be? Can you almost grow too quick sometimes? What steps or what measures do you need to put into place to make sure that that process is controlled, measured, but at the same time successful?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that I think about with respect to my team is just making sure that they have the coaching and the engagement that they need from their manager, right? And so, one of the things that I realized is like, you can't wait too long to kind of put in that layer of leadership that really can coach folks and really help them. Because at the end of the day, people, I think what keeps sort of people in their role is feeling like they're being engaged with and they're doing really important work. And so I think as I think about scaling the team, I want to make sure that even as we add people, that we're making sure that we are adding the right kinds of levels of folks that can also just like help coach more junior folks on the team. Right. So just balancing that out. Or if we hire more junior folks, making sure that there's enough bandwidth from more senior folks on the team to really help. So I think that's incredibly important as you scale. And so I think you can do it too fast if you're just like, I just want to add a ton of people and I'm not really thinking about their leveling or how the dynamics are going to play out. But I think a lot about that, because even for myself, like if you're looking at a team of like 7 or 8 people, like I can't give all of my time to, in the way that I would want to all those people. So I have to think about, okay, are there, I need to hire kind of a mix of folks and levels of experience. So not everyone needs my time in quite the same way.
Yeah, sure. Okay. And in terms of the role of a PM at your company, would you say there's almost like a crossover between what you do and what the PM does at all?
Yeah, I hope there's not too much of a crossover, because I think we wouldn't want to duplicate work. But one thing I do think is really key in sort of both of the roles is that, hopefully you're spending a lot of time with customers and prospects and really talking to kind of the folks that are actually using the product. And I think that's, I probably said it 10 times already, but I think that's a really core thing to a product marketer. It's obviously a very core thing to a product manager as well, right? So, I started this discussion by kind of talking about, a core skill of product marketers in terms of go-to-market strategy is really being able to look at the entire market and understand the dynamics and understand where there's opportunity and competition and all that kind of stuff. And then I think that kind of research really helps inform where there's potential opportunity to build an additional product or build an additional feature that we might need. And then where I see product really coming in is, okay, once we've sort of come to the, conclusion that we need to build this thing, product really figuring out how can I build the best possible, feature or, product for that, right? So basically, whatever feature you decide, product is responsible for building the best possible one. And so the way that they go about doing that, obviously, is, working with engineering and talking to a lot of users and customers and understanding kind of what's out there today and where the gaps are. And so I do think that there's overlap there to that extent. And then I think once the best possible product is built, it kind of gets kicked back to marketing in a way, in product marketing, in the sense of like, okay, help me figure out how to like position this well. And that obviously, relates back to the research that you've done on the market and the positioning and why you did it in the first place. So I think That's sort of the dance that I think product marketing plays with product, and certainly the way that we are working together at Qualia as well.
Okay. And in terms of the actual process of introducing new products and features, what does it look like at Qualia, and how does that compare to previous places that you've been before?
Yeah, you know, it is very product driven today. You know, I think we have a really, I mean, I can't say it enough. We have an incredibly prolific and amazing product team. And I think that at the end of the day, you know, when I look at kind of whether I would rather be a sales or marketing driven company or product driven company, I think I'd rather be a product driven company in the sense that, you know, at the end of the day, like an amazing product can really sell itself. And I think we have an amazing product. And it's, you know, the first time I ever saw it, I was just like amazed by it. I thought it was like a really, really beautiful product. And so I think a lot of the decisions about what we do, you know, the product team really is very entrenched and understands the customers and the prospects a lot and what the pain points are and where to go next. And a lot of them are actually from, you know, spent a lot of time in the real estate industry before. So they really understand the customer really well. Having said that, you know, it's always a team effort in terms of what we're learning in the market in terms of areas we need to go. And so, you know, we collect feedback, you know, we being even product marketing, we collect feedback from customers and prospects. We talk to sales a lot. Sales talks to product a lot in terms of what they're seeing in the field, where there are gaps today, what we need to build. For example, we're launching an integration next month that will really help open up a certain market that really to this point, I mean, we've definitely been selling in that market, but because we didn't have this integration, it was a little bit harder, a tougher sell. And so that was something that sales was experiencing. And so, you know, getting that back to product really helped them prioritize, okay, we actually really need to build this integration if we're serious about moving forward in this particular region. So it comes from everywhere, but I will say, you know, we're a very product-driven company and our product marketing team works really closely with product.
Okay, great. And in your opinion, I mean, product marketing, it's an area that is becoming increasingly popular. You know, more people are staying within product marketing and more people are transitioning into product marketing. But there's always, as is the case with anything, just, you know, by pure nature, there's always room for improvement. So what do you think needs to change about product marketing to make it even better than it is already?
You know, I'll say this, I've said it like a million times in different forums. I think that a lot of times product marketing can feel like a playbook. I think a lot of things in SaaS can feel like a playbook, if you think about it, because, you know, SaaS is just the end of the day, you have a product, right? And up till this point, a lot of the strategy for a lot of companies, you know, whenever you talk about strategy was just like in the product, right? So it's like, oh, and it's all like PMs, like making the decisions, right? And that's why, like, I think product, right? And Eng has always been this like really elevated thing. And then, so once all the strategy and the product is built, then you just stand up your go-to-market teams around it, right? That's kind of been the playbook. So you'll be like, okay, now I need a sales team. Now I need a marketing team. And within marketing, I need demand gen and events and content and PR and product marketing, right? And then I need a customer success team and a services team and a support team. And it's just like, you run a playbook. And I think, you know, at worst, in my opinion, product marketing is just like a playbook that you're like, okay, now I just take stuff from product and I have all these templates that I have. And then I, you know, go through my checklist and, you know, and then I come up in my message. And maybe the most creative thing is that I have a messaging guide that like I've had to build out. But for the most part, it just becomes this like rinse and repeat playbook. And I've seen a lot of product marketing leaders like do that, right? Like they just like basically have their playbook and it's just like rinse and repeat. And I think that, you know, some people may like that. For me, I want my job to be a little bit more creative and interesting. And I definitely want to be part of the strategy. And I want my team to really be a part of the strategy. And the way that you earn that is by getting out there and doing the research and really understanding the market well. And then you have a seat at the table in terms of the strategy of the business, not only in terms of the product that we build, but also how we go to market, right? What are the different channels, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so I think product marketing has that, you know, in a lot of companies, I think it can feel like a playbook. I think it has the potential to be incredibly strategic. And I think at Qualia, we see it as incredibly strategic in terms of the way that we work with other teams. I think the other thing is that, you know, Qualia is a little bit special too, in that we're not kind of like a playbook SaaS company. That's like a really interesting market with a lot of network effects and things like that. So that helps as well. But you know, at the end of the day, I would say the biggest area where product marketing actually could elevate itself is really the potential that it has to be a very, very, very strategic function if it's not today in an organization. And I think in many organizations, it's not always seen that way.
Okay. And to round off what's been, you know, a really great chat, I really enjoyed speaking with you. If there are any almost like new or aspiring product marketers listening to the podcast, what advice would you give them to get the most out of their product marketing career?
Yeah, you know, I will give them the same advice that I gave in the kind of Sharebird top 50 marketers thing, which is one of my favorite pieces of advice. And it's actually not just for product marketers, it's sort of for everyone, which is, you know, in your career, I think what you want to do, always be looking for a company. If you're looking to transition to a new company or even within the current company that you're at, look for a company that's in hypergrowth, like growing really, really fast. Or if you're in a larger company, a business unit within that company that's growing really, really fast. And then find someone there that is really well respected, like a leader that's on their way up, that is willing to like, is a really strong advocate that you know has a reputation for being a really strong advocate for their people, and go work for them. And that is the way you can get more and more like outsized sort of opportunity. And I've seen this play out in different, you know, ways. And I've seen the opposite happen with people that I know that have been at companies that are either really slow growth, where they might've been with working for someone that's a great advocate, but there's no opportunity because the company isn't growing that fast, or they're at a high growth company, but they're with just, you know, they're working for a manager who it just is kind of not really a great advocate for their people and doesn't really care that much about advancing people's career. So what you want to do is find a high growth company with someone that's really aggressive about like advocating for their people and go work for them. And I would say that for anyone across like any function, not just product marketing.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Priyanka. It's been, as I say, a great chat, and I really enjoyed having you as our latest guest on Product Marketing Insider.
Awesome. I really enjoyed being here as well. Thank you.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again, and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.